Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupps.
Hey, welcome, everybody. It is the end of the week, and you know what that means. It's Freedom Friday. That's your opportunity to call and talk about anything politically you want to talk about. And you know, it's just so easy. You pick up the phone and you dial 503-589-1220. 503-589-1220. That is the Power Buick GMC talk line. It's just that simple. It's easy. You can talk about anything political. It's got to be political. Doesn't have to be anything that I'm talking about. Maybe it's just something you want to get off your chest that maybe you haven't been able to all week or whatever. It's your art. Day. This is your opportunity. So you can call 503-589-1220 or shoot me an email to jeff@1220.am. jeff@1220.am. Here's kind of what I'm looking at today on Friday, Freedom Friday. The interesting story, you know, it's amazing what not running for office again does to you mentally. Now, having done this, you know, when I decided to leave the Oregon House of Representatives, you know, I really didn't change a whole lot, and I really didn't say a whole lot different, which was probably part of my problem as to why I needed to leave to begin with. Because, you know, the reality is, folks, is that I used to, you know, once I figured out what was going on, and it took me really about 4 years of my 8 years of serving in the House of Reps to get that figured out. But once I did, I just said it like I meant it. Okay. That's why I can identify with Trump. And sometimes it didn't work out too well, sort of like with Trump. In fact, I've got an email from a listener, a liberal listener, Wilbur, about my comments yesterday on what Trump was saying about John Dingell, just that unforced error. In fact, there's an Oregonian story about that today. But the reality is that, you know, I just kind of always stuck my foot in my mouth sometimes because I wanted to just say it like it was. So when you are no longer running for office, you're freed in many ways. And you see this with lawmakers who are very careful. And it doesn't matter whether it's a school board or it's city council, county commission, state legislator, whatever. You feel like you can just say what you really think for a change. You don't have these constraints. Well, there's a story on the Oregon Capitol Chatter, the Oregon Insider. You can see this on OregonWatchdog.com. Rural lawmakers unload. Now, this is the difference. And what this does, this story, and it's Republican and Democrat legislators that are no longer running for office, and they're telling it like it is. Now, what's striking about this story, if you read it, and I'll get into it, because I want to focus on this, because this is this dramatic urban versus rural divide that we have in this state, and frankly, we have in a lot of states, especially in the West. But the difference is Peter Courtney is still playing the game. Even Peter Courtney, who is known to be bombastic and saying outrageous things for which he should have paid a heavy price a long time ago, but no Republican would actually hold him to account to it. At any rate, he continues to play the game versus a fellow Democrat telling the truth. When we get into that, we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, here's some news. The Oregon Secretary of State handpicked marionette puppet of Kate Brown, Bev Clarno, has denied two more clean energy ballot initiatives. And do you know why she did? Well, because they cover things that are totally irrelevant to the content of what is going on, what these ballot initiatives are proposing. We'll get into that maybe. And, oh, by the way, remember yesterday I said you could go vote in the 2019 Best Oregon Political Cartoons? Just go to OregonWatchdog.com. You can click on Oregon Catalyst there. Well, people did, and I'll tell you which ones they are. Breitbart. Hey, by the way, did any of you watch the silly Democrat debate yesterday? No, I certainly didn't. Now, I was admitted I was busy doing other things, but the Breitbart story from is Bah Humbug, Grumpy Democrats Debate in California. And it was and they have a Christmas kind of a headline there. Biden imitates stuttering child in Christmas message. Warren gets emotional over her selfie experience. Biden shows signs of life. Yang dominates the Breitbart poll. Warren Weird keeps talking about selfies. These are all Breitbart headlines. They pick on Pete Buttigieg. Bombs crashed over wine cave. You know, that's more of those elites going to his wine cave. You know, the billionaire showing up there. Mayor calls for fast-track citizenship payouts for new aliens. Joe Confused says economy struggling. Is the economy struggling? By the way, we just got our revised third quarter numbers, and they're unrevised. Our third quarter GDP, the gross domestic product of this country, that's all the business that is conducted in this country, for the third quarter this year remains at 2.1. That's still stellar growth, given how long this particular expansion has occurred, has been occurring. Candidate admits impeachment years in making. They're all clueless on China. Warren crushed for her epic tax hike. All of these are, at least they're Breitbart headlines that came out of, well, that debate last night that nobody watched. Drudge Report has headlines. The day after, Congress heads home. And I want to talk a little bit about that, but it is Freedom Friday, folks. And I promise to you that if you call on Freedom Friday, you want to talk about anything you want to talk about politically, I will get you on the air. And so we're going to go to the phones. We're going to go, well, we'll start with Art. Art, good morning. What do you have to say this morning, friend?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm looking forward to taking you out for your steak dinner. You and I
right,
actually
because, sitting down. Right, you lost a bet to me, didn't you?
And having fantastic conversations. You know, Jeff, I sent you an email when we made this bet that I win either way, and that's why I made the bet. And so I'm really excited that and as soon as we get into the new year, we'll schedule it and have it, because a lot of stuff going on. But I'm just really excited about that, Jeff. And you know the reason I made that bet was because I actually did want to go to dinner with you, whether it be I pay for it or you pay for it. So anyways, that being said, what I would like to say today is that the Oregon Democrats have stolen from the Oregon citizens hope and optimism, and that's why we're in the situation that we're in. We all know that they don't really care about us. Whether we live in the city or we live in out in the country, I've lived in both. And quite frankly, the reason I live here in Salem now is because, you know, I became blind and I had to, of course, get employment to support my family, which, you know, every man needs to do. There and woman, if, unfortunately, they don't have a partner. But, Jeff, I want to say that we, all of us, Republicans, independents, and Democrats that are not happy with our state. And really, how could you be happy with our state? Because I've lived here almost all my life, Jeff, and our state has gotten to a point where, well, you know where it is, I know where it is, and we won't go into that. But I do want to say that all the listeners out there, whether you be a Democrat, an independent, or a Republican, okay, we got to all work together to restore hope and optimism in the state of Oregon.
All right, so let me stop you for a second. So
okay.
Why do you say that? I mean, what's so bad about Oregon that you think there's people out there that are hopeless?
Well, Jeff, because they're not engaged and they're not working like you and I do to make Oregon a better place to live. And the reason that they don't is because they've been beaten down. They have lost their optimism and, quite frankly, a lot of times been attacked for how they think. They've been attacked for their opinions. And, you know, it's going on across the country, Jeff. You and I know that. But if you look at it deep down, a lot of people say, oh, well, why should I get engaged? Because nothing's going to change. And I can say, okay, I've been involved in politics for a long time. And I truly have seen positive change when the system is working right. And you've seen positive change when the system is really working right.
All right, so define the system working right and define what is positive change. Because here's the problem, is you and I as conservatives, as business people, we look at the world a particular way, but you know, if you're not us, if you're a liberal or if you're just a person trying to live your life and you're apolitical, you know, you don't look at things like that. So what is positive change to you, and how do you think other people look at it?
Jeff, working together and, you know, defining the problem and finding real solutions instead of beating the hell out of each other, because that's what started to happen here in Oregon.
Okay, Art, thanks, friend. Working together. I look forward to having dinner with you too soon. That's what Art thinks. Back in a moment at 6:20. No, that's not poverty.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is Freedom Friday. You can call and talk about anything you want to talk about today, and it's really easy. You just pick up the phone, 503-589-1220, or shoot me an email to jeff@1220.am. So I got an email from Wilbur, who's one of our liberal listeners, and he said this: regarding my comments about Trump's unnecessary enforced error, you know, and I listened to the show yesterday evening as I was driving around. I listened to the replay because we replay this show at 6 o'clock in the evening. And I listened to my comments about that and how I made them. And you know, I'm just telling you, I was honest about it because I just didn't think it was right. And it's you know, look, I understand Trump from the respect of, you know, look, he's a human being. And here he did the right thing for John Dingell, you know, longest serving member of Congress, period, when John Dingell died. It was an institution in the Congress. And you know, they did the whole thing of honoring him and how the government does that, you know, flags at half staff, so on and so forth. Debbie Dingell calls him up. And then he does this for her, didn't have to. And then she turns around and goes out there publicly and criticizes him and says she's going to vote for impeachment. Well, I mean, how would you feel? I mean, I would probably feel pretty ungrateful, too. But having said that, I still wouldn't have said what he said. Just it's not my nature, number one. And I think it's wrong. I think it's just mean spirited. So Wilbur sent me this email in regards to that comment yesterday I made on the show. And here's what he said. He said, I can think of other times Donald Trump could have been more careful with what he said. Refreshing to hear a conservative point out the mistake of another conservative. Well, thank you, Wilbur. Merry Christmas to you, too. Look, Donald Trump, by the way, calling him a conservative, I've never considered him to be conservative. But I do now. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I was really worried about Trump when he got elected. Even though I voted for him and I've become a huge fan of his, I was worried about him because, look, this is a guy who had to play the game of giving money to Democrats and you know, the game of being a successful business guy in New York, of all places. And, you know, you've got to be a moderate. You can't be a conservative, but, you know, he stunned me in that he has governed as a conservative, by and large. Now, if there's another criticism I have of him is signing these budget-busting, massively deficit-increasing bills like he is going to do that the Senate is about to pass today. I mean, it's just at some point, this destroys our nation, folks. I'm telling you, it does. And neither Republicans or Democrats, including this president, sadly, have the ability to stop it. And it's going to destroy the very future. And you know what? People don't care. People don't care. And it's just amazing to me. Let's go to the phones. It is Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? We'll go to, it's either Ann or Zeke that are on the line. I can never tell which one of you is calling on this line. Who is it today?
Good morning, Jeff, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
It's Zeke. It's Zeke here on Freedom Friday, and I want to say that I'm a strong Trump supporter. I read his book initially called Crippled America, thought it was great, and he stuck to everything he said in that book. And I feel like it's wonderful to have a working man in the White House, a guy that actually rolls up the sleeves and works every day. But my question to you is, how do we get people to care enough to vote? I know people that are at the core conservatives, and they don't vote. They don't even register. And I'll talk to them about politics and how I feel about the country. And they, you know, I try to persuade them. And they agree with what I say. But then I find out they don't even register. What would you suggest I do to help these people cross that line and get active?
Well, that's the age-old question. Typically, people don't get politically active until something they care about is damaged by a politician.
So it's got to be like a tidal wave in your backyard.
Yeah, exactly. You got to find an issue that they care about that is being negatively impacted by. I mean, I hate to say negatively impacted because it's the negative that moves people. Fear of losing something. Let me give you a great example, Zeke, is so much of the Russian and Slavic community is now getting engaged in politics in Oregon in an organized manner for the first time. And this is a refreshing thing because they are joining with us for things like standing up against forced vaccinations. And here's why. they realized that they as parents were going to lose the right that they that God gives them to care for their children. Government was going to take away part of that right by saying, no, you must vaccinate your children on this schedule or you cannot educate them in public. And they all of a sudden they got active. So for you, what you have to do, and which this is the challenge for everybody who has someone in their sphere of influence, just like you've described, you got to find something they truly care about and then help them understand how government is negatively impacting that. That's the only way you can get people to wake up that I know of. Plus a lot of prayer, Zeke. That's the other thing.
Yeah, I dig that. And I really understand what you're getting at. Being a native Oregonian, born in Portland, I'm almost ashamed to say I was born in that town now. I won't even step foot in it. But I see what you're saying about, especially like about children. Because there was a time when I didn't even understand the abortion issue and all this of, well, I want the right to do this, right to do that. I'm totally pro-life now because of just educating myself on the political spectrum.
You know, that's the same journey I had. I used to be a long-haired rock and roll singer. And even though I grew up in a conservative farm family, Republican, I went liberal for a while, and I used to be pro-choice. And after I learned about abortion, very much became pro-life. Zeke, thanks so much. Merry Christmas to you. Friends, it's 6:30. It's Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? When we come back, I'm going to apologize for something I said yesterday. No kidding. Back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 24 minutes before the top of the hour. Yeah, you know, I try to practice what I preach, and in a moment I'm going to apologize for a mistake I made yesterday. Because, you know, didn't I say that the president ought to apologize for his comment on John Dingell? I'm not alone, by the way. There's an Oregonian story about that in the Oregonian today on Oregon Live. Oh, the Republicans nationally calling for him to do it. And by the way, you know what I found interesting? I found interesting that that Never Trumper on Fox, I just happened to see this yesterday, Never Trumper, Neil Cavuto, was dinging some Republican about that comment. You know, and other people are focusing on it. And again, it's mean-spirited, but I mean, it is what it is. I understand Trump's frustration. And I don't know that I would even be as gracious as he has been or even as good-natured, given all he has been through, I have to tell you. But at any rate, I'm going to share that with you in a moment. We'll get back to the phones in a moment. It is Freedom Friday. And call and talk about anything you want to talk about politically today, 503-589-1220. 503-589-1220. That's the Power Buick GMC talk line. Or shoot me an email to jeff@1220.am, and I will do my best to read it on the air. My apology is to Tom, who corrected me in my criticism of what I thought was a really dumb Oregonian headline. Well, turns out I was wrong. It was about the impeachment vote, the 8 votes cast. Well, Tom pointed out to me that, you know, Jeff, it really is simple math because it was 4 Democrats in the House. There are 5 total House members from Oregon. One is a Republican, Greg Walden. 4 Democrats. Greg Walden rightly voted no on both articles of impeachment, but the 4 Democrats voted yes. And they voted yes on 1 and the 2nd. Article of impeachment. That's what the headline writer meant by 8 votes. Now, I didn't take it that way, so maybe I needed more coffee. I don't know. But anyway, I screwed up, okay? I'm just being honest with you, folks. Tom, thanks for pointing that out to me. Let's go to the lines. It is Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? 503-589-1220. Let's go to Rich. Rich, good morning, brother. How are you?
How you doing? I have the 2020 election is also going to be very important to the Republicans, because with the moderate Republicans in Oregon that are basically in the driver's seat, it'll be interesting to see how they handle what's going on and do they do it well, because we've got some real hard chargers like Bill Post and Mike Nierman. But I think that the upper management seems to be a little bit more in the middle of the road moderate, and we'll see how they handle the pressure that's coming.
So are you referring to what's going to happen in the February session?
Yes, and I'm also looking at the elections in 2020. I think this is going to be a real pivotal coming year for the, I don't know what you want to call it, the Republican Party upper management in Oregon has to have a paradigm shift. If they don't, they're going to be lost. And I think it'll be interesting to see how they handle it.
So what is that paradigm shift? What do you think they need to do?
They need to be more aggressive. They need to be moving on rather than playing second fiddle. They need to be aggressive. They've got some really good hard chargers that may or may not get disillusioned, but it'll be interesting to see how they move forward and be more aggressive rather than lay back and polite.
Well, I could not agree with you more. In fact, it is advice that I have given both the House and the Senate Republican leaders. Because, see, I've agreed with you 100%. Because this is sort of like Einstein's definition of insanity. You know, doing the same thing over and over again, Rich, and expecting different results. Well, that they keep playing the game, going along, sort of fighting, but sort of not. And nothing is more representative of that than the fact that there were members of the Senate Republican caucus who were advocating for staying there and not walking away and denying the quorum. Fortunately, everybody else said, no, we're leaving, and you don't want to be the last two people sitting in this building letting the Democrats steamroll your rural constituents. Well, they grew a pair and they decided, pardon me, they grew a spine and they decided to leave. And they found out that it was incredibly impactful. So given that, Rich, do you think that maybe they'll learn from that and be just as bold?
I think they will, as far as the people out front, but I'm talking about the people in the background. The ones that are, leaders in the counties for the Republican Party, that seems to where the common thread is from there up to the state management of the Oregon Republican Party. Their mindset, their paradigm shift is going to have to change, and it'll be curious to see how they handle it.
Well, it will be, too, and I think it's pivotal. Because here's the thing. You and I today, largely as conservatives, are happy and pleased with Trump being a fighter and for acting conservatively and for being very aggressive. And frankly, that's inspiring. And I got to tell you, if Republicans don't be bold, they won't inspire any. And they have to do it in the 2020 session to inspire the base for the 2020 elections. I think you're right on. Rich, thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Merry Christmas to you. Let's go to the next caller. That's Tim. Tim, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. What I wanted to talk about is go back to a statement that I made quite a while ago. You get what you don't do. You're either proactive or you're reactive. If you're proactive, you control the topic and how it will be addressed. Republicans are reactive.
Why is
very
that?
Hard. Why is it?
Why? Why are they? Because you're right on the money. Why are they reactive? Why aren't they bold? Why don't they do what you just said?
They don't sit down. I'm trying to think of an easy way to do that, Jeff. They don't sit down and look at options. They have opinions. I don't care about opinions. I want options because that creates the best the group has. Now, you do that. You put a group together, and it works well. You've got people actively involved on an individual basis. I can't think of anything right now that the Republicans did this last session that they were very proactive in. Even with the governor, they were reactive. They weren't proactive.
Well, you're right. Now, it was a reactive thing for them to walk away from the legislature to stop this madness. So let me ask you that question. Then what could they have done proactively instead of reactively?
Well, that's really interesting. It's easy. For example, when we passed the gross receipts tax, when did, in the discussion, did it say that education wasn't going to get anything, and they were specific in the way it was written? And when I testified on the sales tax, it addressed all that. But nobody, do you know that I did that East Galleria for 2 years? I testified 2 years, and I received not one comment from anyone. Not one. Now, here's one thing, if I may, Jeff.
Sure.
I get involved in discussions, and usually it's emotional. They complain versus creating options, and they don't think that anything will happen anyway. So they just complain. They won't get involved because they don't think anything will be done. And I don't see the Republicans coming up with anything that's different. Even when we were looking at flush down Kate Brown, okay, what's different? You either like her or you don't. What did the Republicans offer that was worth getting excited about? Nothing. You either liked her or you didn't like her. You either liked or you didn't like what she came up with, what she supported. Okay, what do you have to offer different? Now, do you know what was interesting? Is Buehler wasn't the first choice at Dorchester.
No, he wasn't. That's right.
And so you're communicating based on who you bring up too. So where's the leadership? Where's the information that everyone can get involved in and create opinions? Because no one thinks it makes any difference. They can't make a difference.
Well, you're right about that, and that's why it's so important. And Tim, I want to let you go, but thanks. I appreciate your comments because you're spot on. This is what has to happen. Republicans have the example of Donald Trump, who is fighting, who is being proactive, who is setting the terms of the debate. And that's exactly what Tim is talking about here. Because if Republicans in Oregon will do that, and not just our standard bearer, which in this case, because it was the governor's election, it turned out to be who won the Republican primary, and that was Newt. Well, Newt didn't do a whole lot of anything that was inspiring to anybody, to be honest with you. So who can take his place now? Is it a party chairman? Is it members of the legislature? Is it any of the candidates that are going to be running for statewide office? I would say it's the members of the legislature, wouldn't you? That's the next big thing that's going to happen that's going to capture our attention. Or could it be a grassroots group? Let's get to that when we come back at 6:48. It's Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? Back in a moment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. In a moment, we'll go right back to the phones. I want to remind you that I use CBD oil products because they work for me. Maybe they can help you. And, you know, one of the things that is evolving about CBD products, especially topical, you know, that you can buy in a lot of different places, is that there's going to be standards put in place in terms of, are you really getting what they say you're getting on the label? Now, it's important. And it's one of the reasons why you should consider talking to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care, because they sell CannaShield. One of the things you can be assured about with CannaShield is that it is what they say it is. It is grown from Oregon, sourced from Oregon, produced in Oregon in every way, and it has everything they say it has in it. That's their standard. That's why you ought to consider learning more about CannaShield, and you know how you can do that? Just go to their website, vimsalem.com, V-I-M, vimsalem.com, or frankly, just stop by and see them. They're in South Salem on South Commercial right next to Safeway. It's easy to find. A big billboard right there. You can't miss it. So go check it out. CBD oil products work for me. Maybe they'll help you. vimsalem.com. Let's go to Rebecca. Rebecca, good morning. It's on your mind on Freedom Friday.
Good morning. Tim is so right, and it's, I believe, part of the non-reactiveness is due to the busyness that the Democrats keep us involved in at the Capitol. The representatives, when they're in the session, are just overwhelmed by tons of bills. And a lot of times they have the bills dumped on them right at the time they have to vote on them. They haven't even had a chance to read them. And they're constantly in the state of reacting because they have to react to what comes in front of them. That's part of overwhelming our system. And then also I believe it comes from we haven't had a chance to undo the lies that the Democrats throw our way constantly, and we don't know what's true and what's not true. And so part of it, I think, is that that people don't realize that there's another way to think about it, a thing. When I was coming to the Americans for Prosperity and other groups where we were being taught, I was learning so much stuff that I had never known before. And you've done so much to help educate me. And then also, once I learn that there's a lie in an area, then I can go search out something else. And so if people don't recognize what the problem is, they just exist and react the way they've always thought about things. So Tim is so correct, but then we have to work hard to educate people, like what you were doing with Americans for Prosperity.
And that's why each person, each one of us, just knows people, have the opportunity to do that. We know people in our circle of influence that we just happen onto in our daily lives, that you can influence, and it's how we do it that matters. And Rebecca, thanks for your thoughts. I'm going to let you go because I want to sort of finish this up a little bit. Yesterday, I had a long conversation with Art Robinson, and you know, Art's a brilliant man, and he's a bit of a historian, and he reminded me, we were talking about persuading persuadables. And how you do that, and what you have, and he reminded me about Benjamin Franklin, and Benjamin Franklin's autobiography that he wrote. And it was about Franklin used to be an incredible debater, And he had this way of destroying other people in debates. But what he realized is he never changed anybody's mind. And that he eventually hit on the idea that the way you get people to change their minds is lead them to the place where they reach that conclusion themselves. And that just reinforced everything that I've been saying to you, because it's right. Remember I just said earlier about how I used to be pro-choice, now I'm pro-life? I had to reach that decision, not just in my mind, friends, but in my heart. And I had to come to that conclusion myself. And people helped me get there. So if you have a young person who is, who's been brainwashed by our public education system, or you know, whether it's K-12 or it's in the college realm, and believe, and they believe that socialism is the way that we should go forward, one of the ways that you can help them get to that conclusion is to talk to them about stories, present an option to them that helps them understand it at the most personal and basic level. And there's that great story about the teacher who was discussing this with his students, and basically gave them the example to consider that they were going to, their grade, everything they worked for, which was their grade that they earned, that he was going to take part of that grade and give it to someone who maybe didn't study as hard and had a lower grade to bring their grade up. And the great part of the story is these kids rejected that idea because they didn't like that, because they earned their grade. They worked hard for it. Well, that's exactly what socialism is, was his point. There's an example of how you can use something that matters to kids or to someone to get them to that point of realizing, wow, that's what socialism is? How come I wasn't taught that? Well, so, and the other thing is leadership and inspiring people. So, in the upcoming, you know, being what Tim is saying about being proactive instead of reactive, and Rebecca just reinforced, it's so right on the money. So here's how Republicans could do it. And this was my advice to them in the last legislative session. And they didn't take it, unfortunately. And I think it was a missed opportunity, but I think they could do it in the upcoming session. And here's what it is. It's very simple. And it's the same thing that Mitch McConnell did yesterday. You know what it was? Mitch McConnell went out there and said, we in the Senate are going to set the rules. It was a great speech. He did it without talking to his entire caucus. You got to understand, 53 Republican senators are 53 prima donnas. They all have their own agendas. From Pierre Delecto, Mitt Romney, to Susan Collins, to, you know, whomever, right? The great conservatives that are in that caucus, Ted Cruz and others. Well, he didn't talk to them. He just led by example. He went out there yesterday and criticized Nancy Pelosi. They have to kind of sort of follow him because he's out front. That was my advice to Republican leaders. You better get out front. Every day they should be holding press conferences prior to this upcoming session. I'm serious. Every day they need to be out there pounding on Democrats for what they're going to propose in the February session. That being proactive. Don't you think? Thanks, friends. Appreciate you listening. Be blessed. Make it a great weekend. Merry Christmas.